Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today is Bahulashtami. There was a bull named Bahula. You know about him? On this day, Krishna had a leela with this bull. Krishna tested if this bull, I think it was a bull or a cow, was saintly. I know nothing more about it because it's not explained in Prabhupada's books. I couldn't find details other than that. But today is the day that Mahaprabhu, when he went to Vrindavan and then went to where is now Radhakund, saw a little pond, a little bit of water, and he went in that water and he said, this is Radhakund. Today's the day that happened. So that was a small 12 by 12 little area, and then Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they built Kunda as we know it now. And some people told me today is the appearance day of Radhakund, but the actual appearance day was April 18th, or anyway, it's in April. It's the full moon, March, April. That's the actual day that Radhakund appeared at midnight, because the leela that Krishna had with the gopis, it took place in the evening, and finally when the we can tell the story later, but finally when the gopis got around to creating their kunda, it was at midnight. So now, I found some very interesting information. Now, on this day in Radhakund, there's a tradition, Radha Kunda, there's a tradition to bathe at midnight. But that's not when Mahaprabhu discovered it. But what I found was that on this day, women who are not fertile do a certain puja to a certain goddess. And part of that puja is to take bath at midnight in Radhakund. So it became a thing. Maybe confused with the appearance day. Anyway, so just to clarify that. But before we talk about it, when we were reading the prayers to Damodar, I got excited about the verse Kuverat Majo Badha Mochadiyadba, and I started thinking about something, and I just wanted to express that because I think it's important. The sons of Kuvera, their only qualification, if they had one, was that they were sons of Kuvera. But other than that, I don't know if you call it a qualification, but they took birth in a good family, we could say. And the problem of taking birth in a good family, if there's a lot of money, you could end up like Nala Kuvera Manigriva, spoiled. And in fact, Prabhupada said this in Los Angeles in a lecture that I fortunately was present for. He said, if you don't become Krishna conscious in this life, and you practice bhakti, then you will take birth either on higher planets or you take birth here in either a Brahmin family or a wealthy family. And I grew up in Los Angeles, so immediately I had this vision of Beverly Hills. I go, I was thinking, well, if I don't become Krishna conscious, I'll take birth in Beverly Hills. But above Beverly Hills, it's even nicer. It's called Bel Air. So when you become a movie star or a brain surgeon, you can live in Bel Air. That's where they live. So I started having these visions. And I grew up near Beverly Hills, and so I had friends there, and I knew what it was like. And I had many friends who, I would say, were born in wealthy families and quite spoiled. So Prabhupada said, you may take birth in an aristocratic family to continue your devotional service, but if you're in that environment, you may get deviated because you're the son of a wealthy person. And often, the sons or daughters of wealthy persons become spoiled. So, Nalukam Varamani Griva were a bit like that. But as the story goes, the most important thing is Narada Muni took compassion on them, said, you're the sons of Nalukam Varamani Griva, you should not be in this situation. And he decided, I want to give you mercy. It wasn't negotiated, he just decided, I'm going to give mercy because that's the nature of a Vaishnava. He's full of compassion. Bhansa kalpa kubhasa, kribhasa, he's the ocean of compassion. So to be compassionate, Vaishnava doesn't need a reason to be compassionate. Like, you've given me a beautiful sweater today, next week I'll come back and I'll be nice to you and give you something. He doesn't need a reason. Thakur Haridas is being beaten, he's compassionate. Or Jesus Christ is being crucified, he's compassionate. Ambarish Maharaj, he's being completely offended by Durvasa Muni. He's compassionate to Durvasa. There's so many stories like that. Doesn't need a reason. He just is. That's his nature. So he decides to be compassionate. And now we understand from this story that when a pure devotee asks Krishna to fulfill a desire they have, Krishna basically becomes bound to fulfill that. Well, how do we know that? Well, Krishna fulfilled the desire of Brahma to make all these exceptions for Hiranyakashipu. And so Krishna, he had to come as Nrisimhadeva at the right time, the right place, and, fill all the conditions. And then Krishna said, don't do this again, because when my devotee does this, then I have to, I have to do what they say. And he made all these conditions, so I had to do it. So we know that. And one time, I believe it was Lokanath Maharaj, he asked Srila Prabhupada, what shastra is this number, 16, 16 rounds? What shastra? And Prabhupada said, no shastra. Where did it come from? He said, I don't know if Prabhupada said I made it up, but he said, this is what I decided. And some of us know the story. He wanted us to chant more. But anyway, he said, at least 16. And many, many times, Prabhupada promised us, and to our disbelief, that if we would chant 16 rounds and follow the four regular principles throughout our life, we would go back home, back to Godhead. He said it at different times, in different ways. Now, we kind of feel pretty unqualified. And aside from that, we feel like, well, maybe you have to do more than that. That seems like kind of easy. But anyway, Prabhupada said it, and one time, the devotees were questioning him. Really? 16 rounds, four regular principles? And Prabhupada said, yes. But they didn't believe it. They questioned. And then the third time, Prabhupada slammed his hand on the desk. He said, if you chant 16 rounds, four principles, I will take you back to Godhead. Emphatically. So, how do we understand that? Oh, we understand that. That's Krishna obliging Prabhupada. Here are these devotees, they're sincere but fallen. They're trying. I've given them this, it only takes 2 hours. And if they chant nicely, they'll be able to follow the principles if they're sincere. So we understand from this that if you get on the good side of a pure devotee, then pretty much you win the vote, you win the race, it's like, whatever you are. Or Prabhupada used to say, whatever rascal I may be, still, if I get the mercy of the pure devotee petitions on behalf of Krishna, there's a sincere boy, here's a sincere girl, then we're good. So I think this verse is an example of that. Because as we know, Nalakavaramani Griva got the darshan of Krishna. Who gets the darshan of Krishna? Just some average playboy hanging out, getting high on whatever, somaras or whatever they're doing, or hanging out with girls illicitly? No, it's not the ones who get. You see, Krishna, premanjana charita bhakti chanena. You have to have prema. They didn't have prema and they were able to enter Krishna Lila. Well, that's amazing. Okay. So many, many lectures, Prabhupada said, one time, it's interesting, Prabhupada said, that someone would ask Prabhupada, have you seen God? And Prabhupada said, yes, and I can show you. You can see him also. And just like I am seeing you, you can see God. So he demystified it. It wasn't like, yeah, I'm seeing God, big deal, kind of thing. It's not impossible. I can show you God. So that Prabhupada used to say, if you follow Krishna consciousness, you will be able to see Krishna just like you see me. Just like I see you, you can see Krishna. Okay, Prabhupada said it. Who am I to doubt it? Prabhupada said, you can dance with Krishna. Who am I to doubt it? If you go to India, outside of ISKCON, they will say three lives. And so they told one spiritual master, Gaudiya Math spiritual master, Prabhupada said, one life. He said, no, not possible. And they say, in ISKCON, they say, one life. He said, oh, not possible. Three lives. And so they have this discussion. And then they said, he said, but Srila Prabhupada said one life. He said, oh, really? And he said, Srila Prabhupada could do that. Change up the whole tradition that you can't do it in one life. He could do it. That's Srila Prabhupada. So this Leela, Nalukavaramani Griva, getting the mercy of Narada Muni, is just like us. We're like little Nalukavaras and Mani Grivas, basically. Maybe we're like big ones, I don't know. You have to decide that. But we get the mercy. There's another thought I had. In the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that a conditioned soul, when they engage in sinful activities, their position is a little bit like a barrel that had liquor in it that's been cleaned out. And you could never get that odor of liquor out of the barrel, no matter how much you clean it. And have you ever felt like that? I just finished my rounds today and I still smell it. The odor of sanskrit. Yeah, that could be a kind of a discouraging purport. Don't read it too often. No, but I will try to turn it around and encourage you. So Prabhupada comes to America and he looks at us and he knows that we're like the barrel with the alcohol, that we have that conditioning. But he doesn't size it up and say, hopeless, no ISKCON. He says, no, if you chant 16 rounds and follow the four regular principles, it doesn't matter who you are, you can go back to God. And I made that arrangement with Krishna, and so you do that. And then sometimes Prabhupada said other things. You distribute books, you go back to Gaudi. He said to one head Bajara, you continue taking care of the deities like this, you go back to Gaudi. You build Mayapur, you go back to Gaudi. So many things. Okay. Prabhupada said that. He must have worked that out with Krishna. Sounds good to me. So that verse reminds me of just the mercy of the pure devotee. That it's more powerful than that fragrance of, what do you call it, fragrance, the odor of alcohol. It's way more powerful than the odor of alcohol in the barrel of our heart that we often feel. So I think that's important. So, Radha Kund. So, we can talk about Radha Kund, although I have some reservations, because the Shastra says Mathura is greater than Vaikuntha, Vrindavan is greater than Mathura, Gobardhan is greater than Vrindavan, and Radha Kund is greater than Govardhan. Radha Kund is the most sacred place in the universe. Because that's the place where every day at noon, Krishna gets to meet with Radha. Unfettered, he has unfettered, just like in the days of the, you know, storing whatever, weapons of mass destruction, they want unfettered access. So Krishna has unfettered access, not always, but in Radha Kund, he goes there at noon and he can be with Radharani. So it's a very, and when Krishna's with Radharani, that's like, it's not a lila that's easy to understand, because as long as we are trying to imitate that lila, we can't understand it. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said that you have to put Radha Kund and this lila on your head in great awe and reverence, because it's so sacred and so pure, and we're not so sacred and pure that we could misunderstand it. So we have to approach it with the greatest awe and reverence, because it's such a sacred place. 1975, I went to Radha Kund. It was the first time in India and we had a pilgrimage. And as young, rowdy, unintelligent, young men, well, I don't say unintelligent. I'll tell you what they did and you can put your own description to it and save me from offending anybody. The young men went in Radha Kund and started doing what young men do when they get in the water, which is like, you know, standing on one another's back and wrestling, shoving water in your face, and, you know, just doing competitive sporting in Radha Kund. So he came back to Prabhupada very upset. And so there was something that came back that, you know, we shouldn't bathe in Radha Kund. But what Prabhupada meant was, this is such a sacred place. You don't go on Radha Kund and do water sports. So when he said, don't bathe, it meant, till you're qualified, and don't do this in Radha Kund. It's a sacred place. So that was our first, you know, shocking introduction to the fact that we didn't understand the sacredness of Radha Kund. So, let me read a few verses here from Nectar Devotion, just to kind of remind you. You've probably all read this, but I think it's good we read it again.